It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome back. Hour two begins, and we have our winner. Sean didn't tell me because I didn't ask to be told. I wanted a reveal. We have our winner, and they chose their favorite end-of-show sounder. We had Flip Me Over, Mike by John. We did it. That was the original. That's the Jason Tatum drop. What's it going to be this time, Sean?
Shroud of Stroud!
That's a pull from Sean. He saw one John Gruden
doing that for three minutes
as he was
and then I was like, hyping up Stroud one.
Hyping up CJ Stroud for one of his performances. He did it like throughout the year for different quarterbacks.
All he would do is read like a box score.
Yeah.
And then have a reaction to it. That's all like that.
Okay.
That's just like 200 yards. They said he couldn't do it, but he did.
Who?
So, that's how we got Shred'em Shroud.
We have not, or we didn't have the opportunity to play it very much like on Mondays after games because CJ didn't have many
rarely shredded
moments, unfortunately. We'll see if that changes this year. So who's the winner?
Oh, it was David.
David, welcome to the Listener Appreciation Party. Glad that you love a Shred'em Shroud. Or just the bark. It'd be funny if you picked the bark.
I forgot only. I just had the bark.
Actually, I don't like the whole of what John Gruden is doing. I just like the bark. It's my favorite part. There it is. So we'll do that again tomorrow as we move forward with giving away spots at the Listener Appreciation Party. The next time for you to win is with Jeremy and Joe as they begin their show at 3 and they go through 6. I do want to remind you, if you want to win a $500 gift certificate from Republic Boot Company, you can go out and see Jeremy and Joe tomorrow at Zimitti's Italian Restaurante in Kingwood. It'll be their next broadcast, which is part of their summer circuit. You can enjoy some great Italian food and find the promo team to register to win and get your chance for that $500 gift certificate from Republic Boot Company. We have certainly done shows there. We did a recent party there. It's a great place to be, and they have great stuff for you to get. So we're giving you that chance for $500 worth of Republic Boot Company stuff tomorrow with Jeremy and Joe. Okay, speaking of money, a couple former Houston athletes got paid. They played for the teams. I mean, they're not from the area. In fact, Dylan Brooks ain't even from this country. We should take a look into that.
What, just his papers?
Yeah.
If they're up to date?
Just take a look. Let's see what he's up to. See what he's a menace, certainly on the basketball court.
Gotta clean up the streets.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks gets a big extension from the Suns. 3 years, $73 million. This was a guy who felt like he was going to be out of basketball, at least not in the NBA. A lot of see you in China, learn Chinese, buddy. A lot of that stuff was getting sent Dylan Brooks' way after his flame out with the Grizzlies as they were put to bed by the Lakers in a playoff series where he challenged LeBron and then didn't want to speak to the media after it didn't go his way. And then the Rockets, out of nowhere, at least for most people, gave him 4 years, $80 million, fully guaranteed. Everyone was like, what the hell? I didn't know this guy could play basketball anymore. You're giving him 4 years, $80 million? And the Rockets made a good decision. He was a good player here, was part of the culture being set under Ime Udoka. Then they made the move, of course, to get Kevin Durant, and he has flourished in Phoenix, at least through the 1 year he was there, and they were like, we know there are people who question Dylan Brooks, but we love him here, and he gets a deal. Do you remember when people were like, man, this guy has Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane, and John Morant on his team, and he wants to shoot the ball all the time. People were questioning, why doesn't he just pass the ball? Why is he always taking shots?
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do to the fact that he was the man in Oregon. He was one of their go-to
people
guys.
Forget.
So people forget. I know he's now he has leaned into that identity more with Phoenix. Yeah. All of a sudden, he's back to being a bucket getter. But at Oregon, he was their number one guy. He was the guy they went to when they needed a game-winning shot.
He got scolded by Coach K for not playing the game the right way.
Yeah.
After he beat Duke.
It the handshake line or something that became a problem?
Yeah. NCAA tournament game? Yeah.
I don't remember.
I think so.
But
I think it was like a sweet season.
So if we didn't know much about him because he was playing at Oregon, some of that stuff was burgeoning there of Coach K scolding you. But I just remember Dylan Brooks being one of the best players in the the Pac-12?
It was the Pac-12.
It was still the Pac-12 at the time. I was doing this in my head as I was thinking about talking about this. Was Peyton Pritchard on that team too?
I can check. But he had back-to-back 16-point, averaging 16 points in his last 2 years. Yes, Pritchard was a freshman Brooks's last year there.
Okay, so they didn't spend a lot of time together. I was just thinking that had to be one of the more disliked teams in the Pac-12. Brooks and Pritchard on the same team.
I can't imagine.
That couldn't have been a team that people liked.
Fun to dribble up the court
against. Yeah. And just,
I mean, Pritchard played almost 30 minutes a game as a freshman.
So he was a real contributor to that team.
They're on the court a lot.
Yeah, so I just thought to myself, the thought of being a Pac-12 opponent and those guys, forget about their actual on-court play. They're just annoying dudes.
Being like
to play
the wazoo point guard.
Yeah.
Having to be like, oh my God.
Brooks and
these
Pritchard.
Guys.
No. I know they were talking to him, whoever you may be, and they were going to let you hear about it throughout. But
they had a couple NBA players.
Yeah.
Well, none that are like
superstars.
Yeah.
But
they are the Brooks and Pritchard are
the NBA guys. Yeah. Oregon.
Chris Boucher.
Boucher, who he was in Toronto for years.
Jordan Bell, former Warrior.
I remember him
as well. Things did not go well for him.
No. He had a couple seasons with the Warriors being a bit of a contributor. But, it didn't end well as the Warriors' two-timeline thing didn't really come to fruition, although they did get that title in 2022. So, shout-out to Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
That career looked like
he got a raise off of the Rockets contract. Okay, that's the crazy. If Shams Charania tweets out the Milwaukee or the Memphis Grizzlies under no circumstances will have Dylan Brooks back on their
how
team.
How crazy that tweet is!
Yes.
The season was still going.
Yes.
They're in the middle of the playoffs.
Game 4 of the playoff series,
and that tweet went out.
And then you see the Rockets numbers. Of what, four years,
$80 million. Yeah,
and
guaranteed.
You're like, his next deal will give you an annual raise.
A bump.
I don't.
If I lay out the next,
not believe you.
Lay out the next,
I wouldn't believe you.
7 years of Dylan Brooks' NBA career. If you thought he would get 7 more years,
this is
what it is.
Honestly, being signed till 29-30, he's beating the odds.
Yeah, I don't think many people thought that Dylan Brooks would be an NBA player in 2030 if we just go by what was happening at the time when he signed with the Rockets. So, nice career turnaround. And he, in that point total, jumped up from 14 points to 20 points per game for him. And he became a guy that the Suns went to when they needed a bucket. Some of it had to do with Jalen Green not being available for better portions of the season. And also, when he got back, he wasn't great unless you really love the two playing games he played in, which represented his month of March as a Rocket. It just happened in two games in the play.
Good game.
He reverted back to being the Jalen Green of his Phoenix Suns regular season, but that was because partly the Thunder were on the other side.
He has improved. He had one good playoff game for the Rockets 2 years ago. Then last year he had two good playing games.
Except the play-in. Those stats don't count. They don't exist. They're lost to history.
So
you'll have to watch. There are no stats that says Jalen Green. No official ones that said Jalen Green had a couple good postseason games, I guess we'll call them.
Word of mouth.
Yeah. Much like Wilt's games. Although we did see them this time. So Jalen Green and the Suns, not that he had anything to do with it. His teammate gets a lucrative deal in Dylan Brooks. The other former player, at least who played in the city, Stephon Diggs, has a new team. He is a Commander. he felt like a perfect Raven, and we've laid out why several times, but the Commanders go get him. Deebo Samuel back to San Francisco. So there was a need for a receiver, so they go grab Stephon Diggs, who considers himself still the best number two in football. If I think about that Commanders team, McLaurin is their number one. So Diggs, if you are situated to be a number two, go be the best number two in football, since I believe that's what you've told us. The Commanders needed someone to just be an actual viable threat. If he's going to be the guy he was here in Houston, you're going to see a lot of short to intermediate stuff from him, a chain mover, they certainly hope. The explosiveness is pretty much gone. I don't think you're going to see a lot of that out of Stephon Diggs, and now he'll get a chance to go play with a good young quarterback. We certainly talked a lot about C.J. Stroud in the first hour. Jaden Daniels, you pointed it out, I think, either last week or this week, that he's a bit on the C.J. Stroud track.
He's in at least step one, good rookie season.
Step two, not so good.
Yeah, second season. Like, he
injuries
more than even play, which is like almost worse because everyone had injury questions when he came in.
Yeah, we did something this morning because of a caller. He's backing Tank Dell, no question. Loves Tank Dell. Says he has a big heart, but he says he has little bitty legs. Jaden Daniels is in the little bitty legs tier of player. If there's a group, Tank and Jaden Daniels lead the charge. Like this morning, I was trying to figure out if the Astros could run out an all below 6 feet lineup because Nick Allen and Jose Altuve got to be the smallest middle infield ever. Now, Nick Allen played third base, but he does play some shortstop. Yeah. If you think about it, is there a smaller in history? Could there have been a smaller middle infield? Sure. I mean, I think we've grown.
Yeah, like I mean,
human beings have grown.
Pee Wee Reese.
Yeah,
I don't.
But who was the other guy?
Yeah,
because we got 5'6" and 5'7" here.
Was it Jackie Robinson?
I don't know how tall Jackie Robinson was, but we got 5'6" and 5'7" here. And then if Bryce Matthews would be back, he could be in the outfield as a small player.
Pee Wee Reese was 5'10".
Okay,
why was he called Pee Wee in 1930?
But, yeah, okay. I didn't know that. It can't be because of size, right? Because how many?
I don't know.
That many big guys around back then.
And Jackie Robinson was also 5'11".
Yeah. So no, they could not be.
They're too tall. Pee Wee Reese was too tall.
They would be able to qualify for under 6 foot team, but they would tower over Altuve and Nick Allen.
Nicknamed the Little Colonel. He's 5'10" on Baseball Reference.
Were there just giants rolling around in baseball? Why did Pee Wee? Maybe it was, as a kid he was really small. I don't know. But they couldn't play for us.
No,
too tall.
Too tall.
You're too tall.
Too tall for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking, Paredes.
He's under 6 feet.
Yes.
Yiner's under 6 feet.
Yiner.
Christian Walker's under 6 feet tall.
Is he really?
He's 5'11", listed at 5'11".
Okay. I know Varsho's like 5'8", 200 pounds.
The spine of the Astros. you got Yiner. Imai's the only pitcher under 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
So he's 5'11", so we'd have to go with him.
You could do this.
Yeah.
Bryce Matthews has to be.
I need him to come back so the entire outfield would be that, because right now there would at least be one outfielder over 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, we need Bryce Matthews to either shrink or...
I think he is...
He's 5'11".
5'11". Yeah, I know. I did the research.
Or 5'10".
He's listed at 5'10". Yeah. I did the research on this.
Okay.
Because I just think about stupid stuff.
Okay.
We could have a below 6 feet team. I don't know how successful they would be.
Can Jake Myers come back?
Is he too tall?
I'm just trying to think of...
He's listed at 6 feet tall. Too tall for a team. Can't have it.
No way he's actually 6 feet.
That's what his list is.
I know, but you mean he's an inch taller than Pee Wee Reese?
It's funny when you say it like that until you find out how tall Pee Wee Reese actually is. So Diggs, Brooks get their money. So does Jonathan Taylor. The Colt gets a 2-year, $44 million extension. So we've got big money for two big-time backs in a matter of days. Bijan. And now Jonathan Taylor. Now we're just waiting on Jahmyr Gibbs to see how much money he gets. He's kind of he's different from both, I would say. He's probably closer to Bijan. Bijan out of the backfield is a more dynamic threat than Jonathan Taylor. It'll be interesting to see Jahmyr Gibbs certainly explosive. You wouldn't normally consider a guy with his frame a bell cow, but all of a sudden, things are changing for running backs. This offseason, Achan got his. Then the two guys I just mentioned, and the expectation is that Jahmyr Gibbs will get his. He is practicing. So his hold-in, it seems like, is going to come to an end because a deal is on the verge of getting done. It's crazy. Like, this all happened within days of each other. It's a real, hey, we're just waiting on one guy to do it, and then they'll all come in and get ours. And I don't remember how much Bijan was getting in guaranteed money to compare it to.
I think it was 50 million. 50 of or around 50 of the 70 something.
So Taylor's guaranteed money, it comes in at less than that because he only signed the 2-year extension. $39 million guaranteed for him.
Okay. And Robinson was a 3-year, I believe.
Yeah. And Taylor's 2. So we'll see what Jahmyr Gibbs gets. Now, Jonathan Taylor's been around longer than those guys in the league. He's 27 years old. So age certainly plays a part in how a contract gets done for a running back. But pretty valuable position, even when it comes to how they're compensated when they know they have one of the ones. Bijan's 24 years old. So younger, 3 years younger, and gets that longer extension. So for everyone out there, as long as your son is considered generational, let him play running back. There's a chance he'll get a giant deal at some point.
Really, really
good. As long as you know that's a generational, not just a good one, generational.
Yeah.
Then there's a chance your son will be compensated for all his works in a fair way, actually.
If you're watching him, he's like, ugh. That's
if you see David Montgomery, good back. Yeah. Going to have a long career.
Maybe free safety.
But send him to another spot. Make him a safety. You'll get paid more.
But, yeah, if you see Gibbs, there we go.
Gibbs, Robinson, even Achan. Maybe your son's a little smaller, but fast as hell. Can't be caught.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll get a good deal, too. If it's shifty and fast, but not just fast. We're talking track fast.
Yeah, they probably also have to run track. But if you're sitting there, you're like, more of a Tyler Algier.
Good, fine career.
Fine.
But perhaps maybe you can morph that kid into Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Mess with the sliders.
Yeah. All right. You guys, you drop a couple pounds, you could be a wide receiver as long as you the weight comes down. That's how you do it. But, yeah, good to see. If you were really concerned because you were upset that running backs weren't getting paid, that has changed. As long as you're one of the best in football. And, hell, you get drafted top five like Jeremiah Love.
Yeah.
You're in line for lots of money.
We're starting to break all the rules from, I don't know, like 2015 to 2025.
And even still, Jeremiah Love, people said, don't draft him there.
Yeah, that's more of a Cardinals issue.
That's true.
Of just what's around him. But
that's true.
I think running backs are back. I think they're back. As long as you're awesome.
Not just awesome.
As long as you're amazing. Like,
yes, amazing. Whatever the word is.
The planet.
Yeah.
Because it really is.
Like, because
three guys, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry. Am I forgetting,
You said Robinson, Bijan, Gibbs?
Yes.
And then, I mean, Achan.
Bijan, Gibbs.
Yeah, sorry, Taylor. I said Bijan Taylor Robinson, the same person. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor, Robinson, Gibbs. Achan got his money to a lesser extent than these guys, but he got a nice deal.
Maybe
as well.
That's like Henry is a little more track record than today. It might be Achan, but that's really wow.
And Jeremiah Love is guaranteed over $50 million at signing.
Yeah, because he was a top three pick. Yeah, so he's one of the highest paid running backs in the league.
Yeah. If you can foresee the Cardinals being in a spot to draft your son, make him a running back. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got a couple more segments to go. 713-780-3776. You're welcome to join us. We will be back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, so we talked plenty about him in the first hour. Let's hear from him. All the questions surrounding the quarterback here in town stem from what was his last impression. The Patriots game, certainly. The Pittsburgh game involved not being able to handle snaps and some fumbles, okay. But the four interceptions in a divisional round game, that's going to stick with you until you get an opportunity to wash away some of that. So how do you do it? You learn from your mistakes. Here's C.J. Stroud on what he learned from the New England game.
I just think system things, working, with the O-line on protections, pocket movement, throwing on the run was a big one for that game. So those are all things I attacked in the offseason and, got to go back to L.A. with my trainers and really, go hard on it. And I really didn't take a break. So right after the game, I probably took like a day off and I flew home and they came and got right back to work.
He doesn't have anyone alongside him who played this poorly, but he's got some real – do you remember those Raptors teams with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah, the ones that would get stuffed in a locker by LeBron.
Yeah, and those two, unfortunately for them, because there were two other perimeter players in the league having much more success, had a nickname called the Splash Brothers. So DeRozan and Lowry got called the Trash Brothers.
Yeah.
So he just had a Trash Brothers-like performance. Now, thankfully for him – the rest of the AFC was filled with quarterbacks who didn't do very much. So it's not like
it was those Eastern Conference playoffs minus LeBron.
Yeah.
There's just no LeBron.
Yeah, all the quarterbacks in the AFC weren't particularly good. Josh Allen had his moments of playing well, and then he would fumble a ball for no reason before the end of the half to give the Broncos points. So it was a lot of bad quarterback play across the league, at least in the AFC. But unfortunately for CJ in those playoffs, his play was so bad it stood out. So Kyle Lowry had to win a title for people to forget about the past. DeMar DeRozan wasn't in the team to do it. He got traded so they could go win a title. Yeah. So he may have to find a way to latch on late in his career to maybe wash away some of those postseason disappointments. Thankfully, CJ has plenty of time, but he's going to need. I would say a big run. I don't know where it ends, but at least an AFC title game where he is looked at as one of the reasons they get there for people to forget. It's just how it is. You're now 4 years in. You set a standard of poor play in the playoffs. You're going to need to wash people's memories. Because, look, think about it. If he had played C.J. Stroud level of quarterback in the playoffs, that video of him walking into the facility don't hit the same.
No,
it's not a great video for him, but it don't hit the same.
If it was even like one touchdown, two interceptions.
Yeah, just below average performance, but not historically bad, at least like, in the context of the Texans.
Does this guy have a problem?
So it's going to be months of this. Questions being asked, can he perform in the playoffs? It is the path he's laid out for himself, and he is taking the steps, at least he's told us he's taken the steps to figure it out. And hopefully he does because it's better for the team, better for the city if things get figured out here pretty quickly.
It really is just like, hey, just don't have like if however many games he's played as a pro, it's probably like 50 in that ballpark. Like just don't have game 49 and 50. Just don't.
You played a lot of pretty good football here, sir.
Yeah, just like, honestly, you would already just have whatever, $100-something million guaranteed.
Yeah, you'd at least have a Trevor Lawrence contract
like,
already.
You would already just have that. You'd be making $55 million per year.
That's true. It's
if
it's,
you just didn't do that.
It's nuts that that's what happened, and that's why it isn't in his back pocket, that money. But it's the case. You had two bad. One was a Monday. You had a Monday and a Sunday. So you had a
short
bad
week.
You had a bad
short week got to me.
You had a bad 6 days. bad 6 days.
That is a terrible week.
Yeah.
That is a terrible week for CJ Stroud.
Like he went from, he's gonna get 56 million.
Just working out the deets.
Yeah, we're just gonna the Texans, rightfully so. Yeah, you know what?
Let's see one more year.
Let's hold off.
Let's see.
Let's hold off. 6 days.
Because, like, the bar to get paid as a quarterback is not that high.
We know the guys who get paid. We've seen them.
Yeah. It's like you can go from clearing the bar to your team is willing to eat, like, $40 million worth of dead money. Shout out to Kyler Murray.
Well, it's much more for Tua.
Or two, yeah, 80 or whatever it was for two.
Over the course of two seasons. Or
yeah, it's like it's not that high of a bar.
Like these
people don't even really have to think they're that good to get paid.
The thought is, Purdy. We have to give it to him, right?
Brock Purdy didn't have to sweat it. Trevor Lawrence didn't have to sweat it. Like,
they gave Tua a deal where the contract had some injury stipulations, but you know he sat out like. He had a hold in for a day where he didn't participate in drills, and the next day he got his money.
Yeah.
That's how easy it is for a quarterback who's shown any promise.
If you just don't throw four interceptions in one game. Was it in a half?
It was four and a half. The turnovers after
that. We don't talk about how he
cleaned it up.
He didn't.
I think Woody Marks fumbled in the second half after the Texans were driving, but I think all the turnovers from CJ came in the first half.
He bounced back.
So we're talking.
The last half that we saw was pretty good.
We're really talking. We say 6 days. We're talking three halves of football.
We're talking like 3 hours of his life.
Cost him. Currently, we'll see what happens. Means he doesn't have the moment where he signs this giant deal, the crying, the celebrating. Three halves of football, man. 3 hours of actual work.
Man, that's when we really drill down on it, it's tough. But that is like, you know, that's NFL football. You know, that is just the how you know, one thing goes this way. I mean, we talked about Josh Allen, like the Brandon Cooks catch gets ruled a catch and like,
but not an interception.
He probably goes to the Super Bowl. He would have had to beat the Patriots. We'll see. But, like, he would have made the AFC title game
and
been favorites.
And the way Drake May had played in the playoffs,
he
probably wins that game and finally gets over the hump, whether he beats the Seahawks.
And now he has to, like, have an existential crisis every time.
And now DJ Moore is his saving grace. The same DJ Moore who – did he run a wrong route against in the playoff game? And that
I think he stopped
Caleb,
running
He stopped the route. And Caleb Williams threw a pick because of it. And now DJ Moore is the difference. And as we talked about, James Cook is like, excuse me. Josh Allen does it by himself. What are you talking about?
Honestly, shame on us for not including him on top running backs.
Yeah. He got paid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Not like Bijan money.
But yeah. He got paid. Yeah. That's on us. We did not mention James Cook got a deal as well. So once again, running backs getting paid. It is different from the last 10 years. Maybe the running backs just weren't good enough, but the NFL has found that it is pretty important. If you have a big time back.
Yeah. Imagine if the Texans had like a big, like, you know, we think that Dave Montgomery is serviceable and like solid, not a weakness.
Sure.
But like, imagine if they had a top 10 guy in the league at that position. Like, we would feel so much better about the offense.
It would definitely be this whole, we're just going to play our defense and run the football. It would be taken to a different level.
Yeah.
Like, it would go to. If CJ can just turn and pivot and hand it to the running back, we're going to the Super Bowl.
That's really the thing is with CJ Stroud, where it's like he doesn't even have the Brock Purdy or the like, hey man, just get out of the way.
Yeah, there is no big timer.
You kind of have to put the team on your back, but also don't
screw it up.
Don't throw it. Yeah, don't throw the game away.
And speaking of that defense, we know they love to give their own money, and they did it again. Henry Toto gets a 2-year, $16 million extension from the Texans. So coming into this year, there are questions about where they're going to go with linebacker because of the impending free agency of Azeez Al-Shaair and Henry Toto. Now you don't have to worry about it. Your inside linebacker duo will be back for the next couple of years. And in fact, because of this, let's play that Henry Toto sound. He had some moments that he would want back, the Baker Mayfield scramble. He got beat on a stop. I think it was a slant and go by Ashton Jeanty as he was lined up out wide against the Raiders running back. That was a game late in the season. The Baker play was earlier in the year. So a good player who had a couple of tough moments. Here is Henry Toto reflecting on those moments.
That was probably one of the toughest times of my life. I think Tampa was a hard one for me. And then obviously the Raiders game was a hard one for me. But I think through those two games, it was just like digging deep on finding who I truly am as a player and as a man. You know, throughout my career, I've had bad plays, but I never had bad plays like that. So being able to chin check myself, look myself in the mirror and be like, am I going to fold? Am I going to give up? Or am I going to fix what's happening in front of me and go out and be the player that I know that I can be? So I think those two games specifically, it helped me develop to be able to be the better linebacker that I needed to be and the better man that I need to be because, you know, you hate giving up stuff like that. And whenever you get punched in the mouth, it sucks. And, like, it honestly just gave me a time to look in the mirror and was like, all right, Han, what are you going to do about it now? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to fold up or you're going to go out and play some good ball? So I'm super grateful for it. I tell my parents and my wife this all the time, like, I'm so grateful for hard times. I love hard times because it doesn't do nothing but help me grow.
I didn't know a slant and go causes an existential crisis.
I know, but he loves it.
But it did. He figured.
Thank God.
He, as you heard him, chin checked himself. Haven't heard that term in a long while now.
Chin check.
Particularly to yourself. But you heard him, and he's rewarded. More proof that the Texans, if you are one of their guys, you'll get paid.
Yeah.
Which highlights the one guy who isn't getting paid. What is that about? So we played the D'Amico sound, and he talks about CJ's our guy. Well, you pay your guys.
Mm-hmm.
So despite all the words, and I'm not even criticizing them for holding off, and maybe they'll get an extension done. There's been reporting from Schefter and Rappaport that the Texans would like to get a deal done. I'm of the contention it isn't to the level that the other side wants, so that's why a deal's not done.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Texans would like to get him at $48 million or whatever the hell it would be. But they reward people they believe in. Azeez, Nico, Toto. Just list a guy.
Yeah.
And particularly on that
Petrie,
defense.
Petrie, Stingley.
Yeah.
Like they all got paid.
Anyone who is their guy, as they say, they'll get rewarded for it. And Henry Toto's the latest.
Anderson, obviously, he's like on a different level.
Danielle Hunter, they keep giving him money.
Yeah.
Just expect Bullock to get his deal as that defense becomes more and more expensive.
Yeah, is Lassiter the one that's like...
He may be too rich for their blood, considering how many guys they're paying. Particularly if CJ gets a deal in the $50-plus million range, who gets sacrificed? Yeah. We just assume it'll be someone and everyone else is getting theirs. I would hope not, because Bullock could be considered the best second cornerback in all of CB2 and all of football, if you just start to look at some of the guys.
Yeah, he might be so good, like such a good...
That he should be paid like a one?
Yeah, where it's
and
like
that's
a
too
team
much
is
for
like,
them.
He's such a good cornerback too, that he actually would just be our one.
If not for Stingley.
Yeah.
So while we do this a lot with the Astros when we look to the future and go, because of their history of not paying guys, if you just start to break down some of the financials, your defense is so elite...
It's just no one can do that.
How can you pay everyone what they're worth?
Yeah. Like, that's just what happens in the NFL.
Yeah, and if Bullock is what he appears to be, Lassiter, and Bullock too, who knows how much he'll get. But Lassiter, if he is who he has been over the first couple seasons, he will get elevated to a CB1 type. And CB1 types get what Stingley and others get. And can you pay two cornerbacks in that range? That's tough, but that's a couple years down the line. But it's quicker than you think because extensions just pop up and guys think they should get more. And he was a second round pick, right?
Yeah.
So he doesn't have the fifth year option. The Texans can't do that. So it's actually a little bit closer. He'll be finishing up year three at the end of this season, and then you really have to begin those contract extension conversations in earnest or then you're walking into a free agency year, and if he gets to a free agency year, why wouldn't he get to free agency unless the Texans come over the top with the money? So that's why this year, beyond the talent on the roster, that's why this year is so important because you're so talented on one side of the ball, you're going to get more and more expensive every year, and then you have some real questions you have to ask yourself about how this roster is constructed. So. Not to say it, CJ, but come on. This one is, I won't say completely on you, because that's unfair, but there's a lot on that young man's shoulders. All right, we'll go to break. We will be back after this. We got a couple more things to get to before we wrap it up.
inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
We have Keith on hold. He wants to get to a question from me, an NFL question. Keith, you have a free agent wide receiver signing. Maybe you thought Stephon Diggs was going to be a Raven. I know you've mentioned Tyreek Hill in the past. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Hey, Del. Tough news about Diggs to Washington. My eyes are set now on, you know, Keenan Allen, maybe Noah Brown, Tyreek, if his leg is healthy enough, obviously. But my question is, I know you're a Miami fan. What are your expectations, you know, for Carson Beck tonight? You know, he obviously had the pretty good run in the college football playoff. That last throw was definitely a throw he shouldn't have made against Indiana. But Beck, you know, the Cardinals are going to be bad this season. They have Brissett and Minshew as two, you know, journeyman veteran guys ahead of him on the depth chart. What are, like, the expectations with the draft pick of Beck? Is he going to play? What could he do in these three, four preseason games to even, you know, get any sort of playing time in the regular season, or are they just simply in a tank for Arch situation? Thanks, Bill.
Well, new coach in LaFleur. As far as what do they want to be? You would imagine if they had their way, Brissett would be a veteran steward, but they're bad. And whether it be Arch or someone else, they're in a position to draft a quarterback high, and then Beck could be your inexpensive young backup.
Davis Mills?
Yeah, and I was going to bring up that name.
Yeah.
Highly ranked quarterback in college. He had more success than Davis Mills because one played at Stanford, the other played at Georgia. Yeah, your teammates are better.
That's how things go.
Yeah, and then you play at Miami when they're in the middle of a resurgence. So he certainly had more success than Davis Mills, but I could see that type of career for him. Yeah. If he is the pro that Davis Mills is, that because there was at a time before, particularly before the injury, thanks to Texas for ruining a career.
Hmm?
You heard me. Texas ruining careers, not just their own
Whose
players.
Career this time?
It's Carson Beck. Did he get hurt in that game?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was...
You thought it meant a Texas player?
Yeah.
Not Quinn Ewers.
I was like, yeah.
No.
As we're talking about
they do that enough.
High school recruits.
They do that enough with their own players who don't perform to the level they at least where they were ranked.
Out as a backup in the NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If things go right.
Did it to another quarterback this time.
Yeah.
For an opposing team when he got hurt late in the first half of that game. But, yeah, I could see a Davis Mills type career for Carson Beck. A couple starts here. He'll... starting this year when they move on, maybe either Brissett's too good or it's just bad. However it goes, if they're looking to tank and Brissett, while they're not winning games, which you can see a chance for him to win some games because he's been around a long time.
For a game here or there last season.
We were a little afraid.
He would have 400 yards passing.
Yeah, we were a little afraid him and Michael Wilson might do something against the Texans. Didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
But so I think the plan would be start Brissett and if Beck is anywhere near ready, get him some opportunities, and then we can hear about people being upset why Gardner Minshew's not playing. Because I imagine that conversation will pop up of Brissett is benched at some point. That why wouldn't they just go to Gardner Minshew? You know why they're not going to Gardner Minshew. What upside is there for that?
Yeah, that or it's a, like, things went super wrong, either injury or whatever, with Brissett, like, in week two or something, and they just kind of need, like, get us to Halloween.
That could
and
be
then
the way
we can go full back, unwatchable experience.
Who wants to go full back? We'll get a taste of that tonight. What are you doing? You came in here for your pin?
Texas Radio
your
Hall of Famer.
Your blue pin? Lance. You couldn't wait for a break to come in and get your pin? It's a really good pin, everyone. That's why he's interrupting. He walked in there all creepy. Like he was holding his shorts.
Yeah.
And he walked in all weird. Did you
hunched
did,
over?
Did you see my pen? What's wrong with you? No, I didn't see your pen. Get out of here. You're
talking about Carson Beck.
Yeah. We got a call about Carson Beck.
but important stuff.
But as far as
I have Jacoby Brissett game logs.
I gotta admit, Keith, didn't really do a lot of research into what the Cardinals' plan is for their season.
It just feels obvious. A, just with the division that they're in with the Rams, yeah, the Niners, NFC if there's West, anyone left on the Niners, and Seahawks.
Yeah.
Like, where it's just, guys, this was going to be a pretty grim team, and then they have to play six games against the Rams, Niners, and Seahawks.
Yeah, and you think about who they have on offense, if they, like, you know, actually lived up to their draft status.
If you could, like,
Jeremiah
in,
Love,
yeah.
Marvin Harrison, Michael Wilson's a good player. McBride, really good tight end.
Yeah.
And the offensive line, okay, not
yeah,
great.
Yeah, not great, but Paris Johnson, yeah. That actually, it is kind of Paris Johnson and some guys.
So if you just went by what their ceiling would be for those players on that side of the ball, you could have a pretty functional offense, even with Brissett at quarterback, because, as you said, sometimes he can deal. But they're the Cardinals, so you just expect ineptitude.
Yeah. And their defense is...
Defense is bad, and they got a rookie head coach. If LaFleur is like his brother, then maybe they have something. Maybe they surprise some people as far as maybe they get to 5 wins or something like that. But overall, you imagine 5 wins may be too much for their actual plans. And I think you might see a revolving door at quarterback there throughout the year as they try to make their way through the 2026 season.
I'm looking at their schedule. I don't know how they're getting to 5.
Okay.
I hadn't
looked yet. But.
It's, I mean, there's some Giants in here, or there's one Giants game. There's a Jet game. Saints, but they might be decent at least.
Yeah, well,
Commanders,
they
like, but there's a
they're
lot.
At Giants.
They catch the AFC West too. So there's the Chargers.
How many games will they be favored in? Maybe home to the Raiders and home to the Jets. They have to go to New York to play the Giants.
Yeah, that might be it.
Yeah.
God. Oh, my God.
You know what? Carson Beck is like, you know what? I don't need to play. Don't worry about me.
They play the Eagles.
At Cowboys. Yeah.
They play the NFC East home. And the AFC West.
And then they get
the NFC
East. Then they get a Lions team who wants to bounce back. Nah,
they're done.
It's over before it began for the Cardinals. Forget about it. All right, we'll go to break. Thanks for the call, Keith. Anyone else want to ask us about one of the more obscure teams in football? You can. 713-780-3776.
Follow us on socials at ESPN Houston, and don't forget to have our push notifications on.
You gotta change your push notifications. Look.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, we're just about done for the day. Rich Eisen is up next. If you missed out on your chance to win tickets from us, whether it be the Listener Appreciation Party or with John and Lance, the draft, we're still doing that. We got one more chance. Well, we'll give you one more chance to be a part of the fantasy draft next Thursday, final time with John and Lance, but also listener appreciation parties throughout the week on all the shows as we keep moving forward to August 28th. So we'll give you plenty of chances to win next week as well. Do want to remind people, if you heard this show and the John and Lance show over the last couple of days, we talked about the quarterback tiers, CJ number 20. In tier 3, Mike Sando, the guy who interviews or at least talks to all these execs and coaches who put the tiers together, he will join myself and Lance tomorrow. John's out. He's gone to Vancouver. Never been to Canada, so he's taking a trip to Vancouver. He will be in Vancouver. I don't know if he'll be there tomorrow, the flight, whatever, but he won't be with us. So it'll be me and Lance and then the guy who – oh, and Sean. Oh, it's one of those for both of us, a 5-hour day? Or do you get some help?
No. Or it's just till noon tomorrow.
Okay, so a 5-hour day for me and 5-hour day for you. Michael Carroll's going to be carrying 11:30 to noon, doing all the talking.
Tell us everything you think about Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Actually, just talk about Spider-Man for the entire 2-hour show.
And give us your guilty pleasure. What are you watching on Prime that you don't want anyone to know about? That'll be how Michael handles it as he will join us. Yes, Michael Carroll back again at 11:30 tomorrow. He is the host of Comicast. He does that podcast with John Lee. You can hear it here on Wednesday nights and also anywhere you listen to a podcast. So it'll be good to talk to Michael again. A little less as far as big openings. Spider-Man's still crushing the box office, so if you haven't seen it already, go see it. You'll be one of many as people have flocked just to go see that movie, as it may be the best movie as in terms of box office ever, coming up on Avengers Endgame. All right, we're done for the day. Sean, since we're done for the day, I'll let you play the music. Caught you unawares a little bit. There it is. The music means we're done for the day. Rich Eisen up next. Since we're done, Sean, what's it going to be? We hope to hear that bark,
man,
a lot this season.
I'd love to hear that bark. Yeah. Six times a season.
You said it in a tone that was maybe not appropriate for football. Yeah, six, seven
that
times.
Peanut butter skin.
Okay, so that was someone else. That's Pena's favorite, actually. Pena, who's now unblocked.
Oh,
We talked about it yesterday. Yeah. Pena thought he was blocked. I said, how could that happen? No, our system isn't capable of that. Turns out it is.
Close the plot hole.
He and Joe got together through DMs, I guess, and Pena no longer blocked, I believe. He called me the best lawyer in Houston. I didn't do any lawyering. I just asked a question. Sometimes all you need is a question to be asked. So Pena should be unblocked. Hopefully you guys are unblocked too. I don't know if I can save all of you, but I think I saved Pena. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.